respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sharanam, Gacchami, Dhyapi, Dhyapi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Sharanam, Gacchami, Dhyapi, Dhyapi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sarvam Sharanam Gacchami, Dhyapi, Dhyapi, Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates illusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness.
by compassion and mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself or slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jnana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sadha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to witness suffering.
If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create anything to release. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Anna?
I want to look at the koan process that we started talking about yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So we're just starting a retreat, and we're each looking at a koan that we might want to work with through the week. And to help us with that, we went through a guided imagery last night, and I had the experience of noticing that there was a conversation in conditioned mind about the koan. So, oh, you know, maybe that, or maybe that. And it was like something darted through a gap in that, and it just went kind of fun.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It was an experience of sort of being taken to the experience of something, mm-hmm. instead of the conversation about what koan I might like to choose.
Uh-huh.
And just earlier that evening, as we'd been washing the dishes, I had that kind of flash of, oh, practicing something is different from an intellectual understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like being shown that, like
uh-huh.
an experience of fun. Maybe this is something that you'd like to practice this week,
uh-huh.
instead of,
uh-huh.
you know,
yep.
what's the right koan.
Uh-huh. In other words, you were having the experience of the process of the koan,
yes.
in actually trying to decide what the koan was.
Yeah.
And so that same place as washing the dishes, that in washing the dishes, when the conversation drops, there's an experience of this is what dishwashing feels like.
Yes.
Just as if I'm not in a conversation with conditioned mind, then it's fun.
Yeah.
That is the koan process, which is to drop the process of conditioned mind
mm-hmm.
and arrive at here,
yes.
this whatever the content is that you're working with it. And the fun part about it is that the process of looking for the koan delivered the experience
mm-hmm.
of the process of looking for a koan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a delightful place of, wow, only life could come up with that one.
Yes. And isn't that wonderful that only life could come up
that's
with
right.
that one? Because then the it like brings up that motivation to train to listen for what life is coming up with instead of being
yes.
like numbed in that
yes.
cloudy
mm-hmm.
ongoing conversation.
So I project that what you notice a lot is, I'm complete projection here, that it's that practice is about thinking about practice. And what you're experiencing right now is life showing you what it's like to experience being here.
Yes.
Instead of working with conditioned mind about what it's like to be here.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. Yes, yes. And because there can be the experience of being here and then whoop, right up into something about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, uh-huh. So the movement of being here is lost. I think we were talking about this yesterday because there's instantly that orientation to make meaning out of it or to intellectualize it or to have an insight about it or to articulate something about what was just seen.
Exactly.
And that misses the ability to be in the energy of fun rather than memorialize what that is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because one of the koans that had been, so something that had been arising as something to look at was making peace with death. And so when we started the looking at the koan process, there was that, oh, well, you know, there was that idea of maybe not. And let's see if I can. So it was almost like life saying, yes, you know, absolutely, that's a great, you know, a great thing to be wanting to look at. And how about we spend this time living?
Yes.
and see how that is a koan in the process of making peace with death.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The fun. Yes. Instead of, right, I've got it, I think it's time, you know, to look at making peace with death, where I've summoned all this courage and it's grim, but gritted teeth, and like that. And then life in that flash just took me to an experience of fun and alive. And
yes. Yeah, so if I'm following you, what arises to make peace with death as a flash of something to look at, which is authentic.
Yes.
That then gets taken over by that conditioned process of, okay, now it's on the to-do list, we're just going to gear ourselves up to be looking at the grimness of death. And to have that, to be in that process of calibrating to life, to realize that what life was really saying is, yeah, well, what is death anyway? You're never going to make peace with it because you're not dead yet.
And you're not alive yet.
And you're not alive yet. And so how about we just look at what it's like to be here and have fun and enjoy life and make peace with life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly so.
Yeah. Thank you. Rebecca.
Oh, gosh, that is so much fun. I feel like I got this big boost of information from life recently through, through a couple of real physical events or things that have happened.
Hey, it's just so interesting that we think that we wouldn't get it that way.
I know.
I mean, what are we if we're not physical?
Exactly. That is exactly what I feel like the boost is, one facet of it. And it is so, to get it physically and then to see how, what broad applications everything has for everything without the need to make meaning out of anything.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a razor's edge that, you know, this wonderful information can come and it can be hijacked into meaning and metaphor and, you know, parable or whatever, some kind of, quote, learning, or it can just be applied.
Yes, yes, that's so wonderful that there's a concrete learning experience, one of those flashes of insight. And that we could directly apply that insight instead of having to go down the byways of making meaning or putting things together or synthesizing it and finding out how it applies to other places. There's just insight and application.
Exactly. Just insight, application. So,
yes, and it is an edge because if we let it go to conditioned mind, then we do have to parse it.
Yes.
Right? How is this applicable to this situation and this situation and this situation? And what I project you're discovering is there's the process of being able to learn instantaneously, and the application does not have to go through conditioned mind.
Yes, yes. And that so speaks to the koan
of attention on awareness.
Uh-huh.
Because any attention anywhere else, and it's in that parsing process.
Uh-huh.
So can I give you a little tell you the content of what it was? So it's about insulation.
Insulation.
So
like
I know
wiring.
More insulation in the house. So so I noticed something I had assumed for a long time about the temperature of my hermitage. I thought it was a sort of a airflow issue that I had this great heater, but it wasn't getting through the hermitage. And just through a series of things, it just dropped in. Oh, it's not an airflow thing, it's an insulation thing.
Uh-huh.
So I communicated that, and we're working on it. And then, and that was a huge revelation. All this time, I thought it was an airflow thing. I've been cracking windows, trying to get the warm air to boot, you know, all of that. And it wasn't that at all.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so last night, I woke up at 1 in the morning really chilly, really cold. And I had tons of blankets, including a really nice down sleeping bag spread out over me like a blanket. And it just dropped in. Insulate yourself in the sleeping bag and then put the blankets on top. Uh-huh. It's an insulation thing.
Got it.
And I'm like, and
thank you, life.
I get it. And so I'm just up in the middle of the night, you know, zipping my sleeping bag, crawling in, rearranging all my covers, and within moments I could feel the heat generating.
Uh-huh.
I could feel the toastiness I could feel it happening.
Uh-huh.
And then it dropped in my koan, attention and awareness, and you know, how to work with it and all that. And the same thing dropped in, it's an insulation thing. You know, and so it just hit me, that's what I'm here, that's why we come to the monastery. We are insulated in practice here,
uh-huh.
You know? I mean, it's not that we couldn't, obviously, you know, choose not to insulate ourselves with the tools and the schedule and the silence and the everything, because we can, you know, do all of it. We can choose a different way. We can choose layers over insulation if we want.
Uh-huh.
With any kind of practice.
Yeah.
But to... And so it was like it was informing my practice,
uh-huh.
in a way of just a slightly different approach. Don't layer, you know, okay, I do this practice and then this practice and then this practice, and but insulate. You know, and for me, I know what that means, you know, because it was informing
yes.
me. Whatever anyone else does with it, who knows what if that information would be helpful for anyone. But for me, when it dropped in, I knew exactly what that meant.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm starting to apply it.
Yes. So the process you're pointing at is, it's so beautiful because it's that kind of holographic spiral, right? That it's built into itself, because at a content level, there's a process that's around airflow.
Uh-huh.
And then the insight leads to insulation,
uh-huh.
revelation or insulation. but that's the content description of the process of the koan.
Yes.
Which is... I can work with it. I can keep believing that these layering of tools or layering of insight or layering of meaning will let me see, will help me awaken. And I actually have to do that for a while,
uh-huh.
in order for it to drop in that it's insulation,
yep.
not layers.
Yep.
Right? And the application of that is to your koan of attention on awareness, because that word takes you to is the intuition of the insight. It took you to a place.
Yes.
That place is available to you every time it's all about insulation.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why it makes sense, because the intelligence has registered that as a flash of insight, and you can go to that place no matter what.
Yeah.
And that place tells you what the application is.
Yeah. Yes, so we can go to that place. It's what you're seeking is causing you to seek, because
yeah.
that place is the place that I'm seeking, and it's also that place that is dropping in the messages of insulation.
Yes.
And, you know, and it just gives, I guess, go back to this feeling of being so well loved, so well guided, so well cared for, so well everything.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah, it takes us to a place of such an overwhelming sense of being cared for.
Yeah.
Because it feels like you're on the path and something is guiding us, right? Something that has our best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Dogen thing about We're all enlightened, we just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the practice is the realization of what we are. And when that barrier falls, it's the most joyous and delightful place. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of recognition.
Yeah. And the response, the only appropriate response is just utter gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's okay.
I don't know whether I want to talk about the con or another thing that happened, but I think I'll talk about the con.
You can do both.
I can do both. Well, it's so difficult. I'll start with the con.
Okay.
The con was very similar to everybody else's con. And it was really cool because I thought I was the only one with that problem. Instead of calling it peeling potatoes, I called it listening presence, which sounded more
listening presence.
Because I realized since in that moment I wasn't peeling potatoes, but I was trying to listen to the group, you know? And I was trying to look at how it happens that I'm listening and then I'm not listening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the way I could see it happen for myself, which happens in group but in many other occasions in life, is like this. Either you or Sherry or the person sharing is talking. I'm following and following and following. And then all of a sudden, I start replying to the person in my mind. Or I start telling the facilitator in my mind how this thing happens to me, you know?
Okay, so let me catch up with you. So you're listening, paying attention, listening presence, and then you watch yourself starting to comment to either the facilitator in your mind or someone else in your mind.
And then
you're not here listening.
Exactly. Which is a big problem in general in my life. A big problem. Not a big problem. But it's something that really happens all the time, you know? So, I was talking about it in the Socratic email class, not about listening, about, in general, talking to people, you know? Talking to people who are not there. And Sherry told me that what she would do, she would tell herself, Sherry, and just share the thing with herself, you know? And so I tried to practice it in this one day that I had, and it was fantastic because I realized I had never called myself by name.
Uh-huh.
I had never pronounced my name in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And so it was so cool, you know. I also decided that I wanted to call myself with a shorter version of my name. And I never have even thought about how I wanted to be called.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the listening presence, so the only way I could see that work in the short term to come back to the conversation. So it was, I'm listening, then I start commenting, then it's like, Izo, it's so fun, we're here at the monastery, let's listen, then you talk to me about it, but let's listen. And so I can go back to listening.
Yes.
And then after 2 seconds, or 1 minute, I start explaining to you or to Cher, to whomever, look, I found this great trick. And then it's like, okay, it's a fantastic trick.
And it's so brilliant, right, that pointing to, let's have the conversation with Isota, not with random
mm-hmm.
other people or whoever else.
Yeah.
Because in order to do that, what we're really practicing is interrupting a process that's habitual.
Yes.
Right? So as soon as you find yourself talking to somebody in your head, it means that you're present.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ability to bring that level of awareness to a process that's happening and then redirect that from that process to being here is what we're always trying, and that's what we're practicing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so cool about it, because it interrupts a habitual process and brings you back to here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you discover amazing things about, wow, I actually never, it's wonderful to talk to myself.
Yes. And I noticed it for the first time, the last time I was here, that it was, wow, I'm such fun company.
Yes, absolutely. Right? I am such a good help. And to me, what you're pointing out is that it's so powerful, because I've never seen this. If we're in a conversation with conditioned mind, we've left ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's the most separate place we can be. Mm-hmm. And you turn the separation into connection by mirroring that we're talking to this, to the wisdom, love, and compassion for which there's a name, Isota, mm-hmm. reestablishes that movement away from ourselves, back to ourselves.
Uh-huh, exactly. And it's so interesting how it is really breaking a default behavior,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
And this is why it's so hard, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is breaking a default behavior and coming back to listening presence in a different way. Mm-hmm. Right? So you could be paying attention here to the conversation, watch the attention go elsewhere, expand the awareness to recognize that that's what's happening, and then come back to here in an expanded awareness that includes you.
Say that last part then.
Well, that if there is no separation, right, that I was reading one of the responses that Sherry wrote, that just because you have that conditioned mind can be our best ally to wake up to be here. So every time we catch it in action, we can smile.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right? So having a conversation is in your mind is not a problem. It's just not furthering you to presence. But you've discovered a practice whereby recognizing that you're in that conversation assists you to come back to Isota, which is coming back to an expanded awareness of here.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right? There's no separation. It's back into a connected awareness.
And I guess the stretches of presence will become longer and longer if I don't worry about it, right?
Yes, because the guy didn't say, it's sort of stop having conversations with imaginary people in your head.
Uh-huh.
She said, why don't we have conversations with Isota
uh-huh.
instead?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is not, it's on a process level, that's not going to a place there's something wrong mm-hmm. in doing that. It's transforming that experience into one of connection from one of separation. And if you have to do that, which is the case in all Zen structures, you have to be present.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not be present and know that you've gone.
Uh-huh, yes. Uh-huh.
It's just impossible. And you're right, that expanded awareness becomes a different way of being present.
Why, it's so beautiful.
It is so beautiful. It is. It is. Thank you. Jim.
Yeah, the exercise last night was powerful for me also. And since then, you know, these voices in our heads, they talk a lot. and that hasn't stopped happening. It's just the subject has changed.
Uh-huh.
The subject is now, and it's a bamboozle. The subject is, don't lose that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Practice really hard. Be right here with it so that you can keep it.
Well, it's
and of course, that's exactly designed to get rid of it.
Yes, exactly.
It's coming from exactly the place that I wasn't up until. It's trying to get me back out of the experience of kind of opening to the love that we kind of swim in.
Yes.
You were going to say?
Well, I was just going to reflect that that is the conditioned prop. That is what conditioning does, right? That you have this incredible insight, incredible moment of clarity, and then what it does is to use that against the voices. Take the content of the insight into the process of suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And however that works for you, right? Which is you've got to go do it, or you can't lose it, or you have to practice really hard in order to hang on to it.
Yeah.
It's always either aversion or attachment which maintains the sense of suffering.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the place that feels most loving is to just return to the awareness that all of these thoughts exist in this little globe, this little orb right here that sits on top of his neck. And keeping intention in there is kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
A waste of energy, a waste of a life, a waste of love. And
a waste of love.
And just as if love could be wasted. But coming back to that, what we've talked about a couple of times with St. Luke, which is Shikantaza. Being so in expanded awareness that the smallest thing, there's at least the possibility that the smallest thing is experience.
Uh-huh.
So it's regardless of what is going on inside this little ball of whatever up here, attention stays in expanded awareness. That can include this.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's just the habit of getting stuck in it.
Yes.
That.
So if I might reflect what you're saying, June, because it's so important for all of us to get that if you have an insight, so have an insight, that insight gets taken over by conditioned mind. And then where what it talks us into, even if the language isn't, is now you've lost the insight. You have to practice harder. You have to get back to that place. But to recognize that all of that conversation exists in limited space. And what we're practicing is an expanded awareness, that Shikantaza place, from which there is this, but there's also everything else. And what we fall for in that, even practicing going up against the voices, is to stay in relationship with this and attempting to get rid of this, whereas we could step back to that expanded place of awareness from which it's one of many things.
Yep.
So it's not mutually exclusive. I was looking at Dogen again this morning, and he talks about the very famous mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers, and mountains are not mountains, and rivers are not rivers, and mountains are mountains. It's those three perspectives. The first perspective is discrimination. That this is what it is. This or not that, or self and other, or it's dualistic. It's the dualistic perspective. And then we have this awareness perspective where, wow, everything is one. And then we move into the garden, where there are weeds and flowers, but the perspective is it's a garden of weeds and flowers, which is what you're talking about. That the perspective of non-separation that includes discrimination, but that's not the only thing there is.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't seen it that way. That's lovely.
Come down the side and
then to Laura.
Jen.
Oh, so that was helpful. It it flashed the possibility of exploring something that's been just on the edges of awareness that feels like was pointed out last night also in group, of that place of so one of the things that we talked about last night in group that is really so for me is that place of like, gosh, what happens between like the just lit up here, joyful, whatever, and then not. And as I was looking at that and recording about it last night and practicing with it overnight, so that place of just attention on awareness,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, it's so fun to practice that place, right? Even each time someone talks about it, just sitting and breathing and just attention on awareness, and then just seeing, you
mm-hmm.
know, the different things that arise in awareness. And the experience is that's joyful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joyful experience. There's this interesting play of, then there's this checking to see if that's joyful.
Uh-huh.
And that feels like that really tricky place that I think is happening, that I think it's an edge I'm playing with right now.
Yeah. So let me see if I follow.
Mm-hmm.
Attention on awareness, doing it, actually having that experience, mm-hmm. is a joyful experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the movement away from that experience is to check whether that was indeed a joyful experience.
Yes.
And that's the binary flip between being here and not being here.
Yeah.
Right? It's the movement away from being here.
Yeah. And so I don't know what the concrete way to talk about it is, because it's a bit esoteric, but that thing that I think has been pointed out before, of the difference between being someone who's having a lit up life, kind of that,
uh-huh.
is it the sixth chakra place, versus just being.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lit up place.
Yes, yes, yes. So the difference between being a someone who is having a lit up experience,
mm-hmm.
which is such a conditional experience.
Exactly.
Versus just being in the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, So again, difficult to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but awareness does not need someone to be aware.
Yes.
But that joyful experience is attached to by someone who wants to know that it's
yeah.
joyful.
Well, because it just flashed through when you said that. So awareness doesn't need someone to be aware, and I don't need to be a someone in order to be happy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. But that default movement to check if you are
exactly.
is
creates
the belief of yes.
It's the same thing we just talked about.
Yes.
I just saw that, isn't it? That you know, have that huge insight and then that now hold on to it because that was a good insight. That's that same process.
Of I'm a person having insights.
Right.
That's what it feels like to do it and,
right.
and then it's already gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Jen, in looking at it for me, it was the other way around.
Hmm.
That being it's not checking to see if I'm having a joyful experience, but never checking the context of joy.
Mm.
Also can be the same place.
Same word.
So
never
in that sense of
joy.
In the sense of you have an incredible existence and you're going along. You're in awareness aware.
Yeah.
But you never train yourself to receive the awareness of joy.
Mm. See, that's exactly what triggered it last night, me looking at it. Because what I feel like is the quote training to see the joy is triggering an I who's doing that.
Right.
And deciding, well, see, I'm really not in
right.
joy.
Yes.
But then when there's that, like I had an experience of it yesterday where, I mean, it was a very mild version of it, but enough so that it gave me an opportunity to practice with it. It was just something that's like that rub of like, no, this means I'm the wrong person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of keeping attention on awareness in that is such a, it's such a joyful place.
The Shikantaza experience, that the awareness is expanded
mm-hmm.
enough
mm-hmm.
to recognize the person who's having that experience
mm-hmm.
and being expanded awareness enough
mm-hmm.
that it can contain that and the context of it.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and it moves into the unconditional.
Okay.
So another little example was I was checking on you know, we have pine trees that went to the beetles, you know, and so now the tops of them are falling down. So I was walking around the property to survey some of what's happening and just practicing that, just breathing, and the sawdust, we had some of them chainsawed that had come down on the road, and just picking up the sawdust and the exquisite smell of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just that. And it was right after a huge rainstorm, like minutes after it, and the sun's coming out, and just that place of like, you know, and that, what it feels like is that that's just what happens when there's the space for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that place of like, now am I joyful? Am I really enjoying? That's what keeps it from not happening.
Yes. So the reference to conditioned mind to assess an experience
mm-hmm.
is not the place of joy.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
when we have one of those extraordinary experiences where we're present,
mm-hmm.
there is that ecstatic sense of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I project that what we have to do is in the non-ecstatic places
yeah.
is to reference the context of joy, not the conditioned process that says you're not joyful.
Yeah, well, I don't know, what I just saw when you said that was sometimes life is that, wow, the smell of that and the sunshine comes, and not always.
No,
and
but that doesn't mean that isn't there.
That's interesting, okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it isn't there, but like, if attention is on awareness and there's not a someone going through assessing, then is it just that sometimes there are those wow, and sometimes it isn't wow? But it doesn't, the not wow doesn't have to be,
not joy, yeah. You know? Here's the only place I would encourage you to look, is in those places where it's highly joyful, you are noticing the default movement into checking if it's joyful, which then collapses the experience. So in places where it's not joyful, are you still checking the places if it's not joyful, or are you checking the expanded awareness of joy?
I think the first. I think there's a checking. Here's what I suspect, just like that last conversation, going around, living, and then it comes in to say, yeah, but are you joyful? That's what I think. I'm getting a prompt, but are you joyful? And then I look to it, that same thing, not realizing it. No, not really. Oh, I guess I need to get joyful.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
So I think what you're describing is to, say it again, check out the...
So you hear the prompt, and it's to go, am I joyful? Am I joyful? It's to the expanded context, not to the collapsed one.
Yeah.
Right? On both occasions, if you're going about your life, and you are joyful, but you don't know you're joyful, the only place to reference in order to know the truth is not conditioned mind.
Right.
But we have to train ourselves not to look to it. That the prompt, it's what we were talking about with the sutta, the prompt is to take us to connection, not separation.
Yeah. That's a good one to watch.
Thank you. Phil. I'm sorry, Penny. I looked at Phil and I said, sorry. I think
I had an experience similar to what people have been talking about the other day, and I found it really interesting. So there was a peace quote or a Pratyat joy quote about not thinking. It was there were several. It was Pratyat joy, a whole series of quotes about not thinking. So one place that's helpful for me not to think is in my gym class, because I'm just told what to do.
Yes.
You know, it's wonderful, actually, and because I don't have to figure out anything. And so one day in particular, I was just being aware, and I noticed that all the exercises and things that were going on were so much easier. And it was the same exercise as I always do, but they were so much easier. And so what seems to me is that what was lacking was the effort to be the person doing the exercises.
And
I guess I just really got that is a whole other layer of effort that takes energy.
Yes.
And if it's not there, then the energy is just available, and the activity becomes effortless, even though it's the same physical activity.
Yes, it is. That is so cool. So let me see if I can. There's so much nuance in that, Penny. So let me try to reflect. Right. So the it's the same gym class. It's the same set of exercises. But having the experience of being aware without thought brought the realization that often there is someone who is doing the exercises.
Usually,
there's someone who's doing the exercises, and it takes energy to be a someone to do those exercises. Mm-hmm. And when that someone isn't there, the energy is available, and the experience of that is it's easier.
Yes, it's physically easier.
It's physically easier. So it's a state of being that makes the difference.
Yeah, and the space within which I was doing those was much bigger.
Yes.
And it's different from, I also have experience in that class of just trying to move my attention away from how hard this activity is, you know?
Yes.
And so focus on the music or focus on something else just to get through it. That's a whole different thing.
Yes. Yes.
Because it doesn't encompass the whole situation.
Yes. Yes. And if I might rephrase, that redirecting the attention is a different process than directing the attention on awareness.
That's right, because it's the same effort, it's just not focused on my particular activity.
Yes,
it's focusing on escaping from that activity.
Yes, but he still keeps the me doing it alive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the difference, that if that me dissolves, then the energy is all available in awareness.
Yeah.
And sometimes directing the attention still maintains the me that that's avoiding an experience or distracting myself from an experience instead of dissolving that to be in the experience.
Right. And then, of course, then there's, oh, look, what's happening?
And right on the
heels. Yeah, sort of come right back in. But that's just part of it, too, you know. And then, mm-hmm. and then the non-effort of focusing on awareness but you know, there's no language for it.
Yeah.
The way I would say it is to have that same experience, but as long as I'm trying to have that same experience,
yes.
it's the same thing.
Yes.
But it's like a whole different phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, let me see if I follow that last part, which is, so then there's the noticing that
I'm back.
I'm back. And then if we go into the feeling bad or clinging to the other experience, then you become the someone who's trying to repeat the efforting experience, and that's not possible.
Right.
And so it's a different phenomenon to get to that place of the context in which I'm trying to have the experience, and the expanded awareness is again recapturable. So it's not effortlessness at that point, it's just a different context.
And so the only way that my experience was to return to that place was just to do that expand. I mean, just to expand into the whole room,
yes.
you know, to just expand into all that was going on in the room, of which this was a part,
mm-hmm.
but not the focus.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that's so the shift is not the attending to the experience I'm having that I don't want to have or I lost,
right.
but moving the attention back to the expanded awareness in which that is just a part of the whole thing, but it's not the focus.
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Well, and the cool part about that is that all those movements are practicable.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
can direct the attention, we can redirect the attention, we can direct the attention on awareness,
mm-hmm.
we can expand the awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of those are specific things to practice.
Right. Yeah, and what is never worth spending time on is, oh shucks, I did it again. Because it just keeps me there.
Yes. Yes, it's that place of collapsing into the aura.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a t-shirt. You know? It's like, it's
horrible. Laura.
Well, I have something, but all this is so fascinating. It's, it changes the world. But
that's a good process to be in.
Yeah. what I was looking at was. Last night I was noticing just like lots of comfort, just like it just felt like it was like, yeah.
First night at the monastery, Laura.
Yeah.
We can just put it on that. First night at the monastery.
Right. And just like, yeah, just having this feeling like my mind is kind of, you know, and let's figure it all out and let, you know, and what dropped in was like, you can yammer all you want. Like, I'm here. Like, I made it.
Yes.
I'm gonna outlast you. Like,
yes.
It's not.
Yes, it's such evidence, right? That no matter what they said to you, you're still here. I'm here
mm-hmm.
at the monastery, and that gives us that ability to say, do your worst.
Yeah. It's kind of that insulation, like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Insulation against the voices. Wonderful. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was saying too that yeah, I was kind of seeing this as people were talking that I think another place is that because it was coming in with and you're the wrong person, you said the wrong thing, all, you know, all that stuff and just that.
God, it's so tiring, isn't it? It's just so old.
Because I'm seeing that I feel like I'm having the experience of like all that's happening. I'm having the first night of the month. I'm having all that, and yet there's also a like. I'm just watching that happening, and I think the prompt with the flowers, like looking at the flowers, of looking for the love, the innocence, the joy. It was like I was having all the yammering, but also
yes.
enjoying the garden, and also being able to connect with, wow, here's this person who
yeah.
showed up
yes.
for me.
Yes.
This is what's most important, projecting love onto people, you know, just
yes.
and. as I'm looking at it now, I'm seeing like, oh, wow. But, you know, because initially you would say like, and you still have this.
it's the deadliest thing to fall for, and you still have this.
Right, versus being able to see like, wow, sure, that's going on, but I'm having this undercurrent where...
Yes, my foundations. Cool.
Yeah,
Cher was saying something to me earlier about how we keep choosing life over ego, mm-hmm. And more of our life is life, not ego. Hmm. And we have that experience, which is what I project you're pointing at, that no matter mm-hmm. what the yammering is going on, that's not the experience you choose to believe is the only thing in your life. Hmm. That mm-hmm. foundation for you now is there's this person who's courageous, willing, shows up, practices, can project love and connection, and mm-hmm. the garden is where she lives most of the time. And wow, isn't that extraordinary? Hmm. It's a phenomenal moment when something that triggers an old pattern happens, mm-hmm. like those voices ramp up, mm-hmm. and then we get to that place of, oh my God, it doesn't have the same effect on me anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same power.
It doesn't have the same power. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Phil?
Yeah, it's amazing. 16 hours of the retreat, and it's like... so much can go on.
Yes.
That's part of that, so being asleep. So it's been great, and this conversation is so good. And what I am seeing right now is, well, I've been, you know, the same process, just looking at what the koan is and just, you know, just letting things drop in. And I love how you just said that where we do live in the garden, I imagine most people here most of the time, and it's just a matter of realizing that and noticing it and seeing it. And what I was seeing, one of the times I was meditating, I'm sitting there having the experience, whatever that is, you know, a presence of being there. And so the first way conditioning shows up, it really is there's something that can just change and shape and do all this. There's some name for that.
Shapeshifter.
Yeah. I know it's something easy.
Yes. Yogars.
That is no easy or not doesn't mean how to think of it. But so what happens is it was actually this little thing sitting on my shoulder, you know. So I'm focused, I'm present, I'm there, and it's not saying anything back. Uh-huh. It's if you had to have words for it, it'd be, oh yeah, look at you.
Wow.
And I'm just, you know. And
oh, how creepy.
Annoying me like that.
Yes.
So there and all night until this morning when I was meditating a little earlier. Because what was happening was I wasn't paying any attention to it, but I was starting to feel annoyed by it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like this, it's like, you know, I didn't believe it, but it was, not even just annoyance, but like, you know, something's wrong because it's doing.
Yes.
It. You know, that's what it boiled down to.
Yes.
I didn't want it there.
Yes.
You know.
Oh.
How subtle. Creepiness. Yeah.
Yeah. And let me reinforce it. I mean, underline that, right? So we're here. We're focused. And then there isn't actually a voice, but there's the awareness of observation. And then there's the awareness of a reaction that feels like there's something wrong. And that's how the attention subtly gets pulled into a someone who's not here.
Yeah, and the something wrong was it was trying to, what was it doing? Say stuff like, if we were talking, which in a sense, it was a little bit of a ridicule, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like you just think you're doing this, you know. You're not really.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is your experience, Will, but what it is doing is collapsing the awareness, right? Because it's a leak of attention.
It's a leak. It was just leak.
Just drip and by drip by drip. And then if you're not paying attention, you wake up and do,
yeah.
Right? Well, I'm going to box the next person who walks past me. And you don't know how you've gone from zero to rage. Because it's a leak. And it takes such a lot of paying attention to recognize that it's so subtle.
Yeah, and it can stop. Here's the heart. Here's the most nasty part of it. Because I remember when I was really, really young, just starting in religious life, you know, and there was something, I was going along and I wasn't supposed to be late for something, and there was this, you could say, thing that needed a charitable act, you know what I mean? And it was like, but I stopped and I assisted whatever needed to be assisted. And it was the first time I ever heard it, and I got it even then. It was saying, you're just doing that to be good or something like that. For some reason, I didn't believe it, so that was good. And I always remember that. But that's the kind of thing.
Yes.
And that is, to me, is the worst thing, yes, in the sense that, because if I believe it, then I feel kind of like a fool or something.
Fake.
I feel fake, or I feel like... And it is the leak, because if I didn't... Yeah,
yes.
This time, you know, I was just going on and
yes.
on until I finally... But what I saw was, its trick isn't really to get me to believe that, because it knows I won't, but its trick is to get me annoyed so
yes.
that I'll be...
yes, so you don't
be
believe
mad
it.
At it, or...
But it still gets your energy.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, the way I saw it, and that was just kind of... this happens kind of in a group, but it's like, it's like a pit. A hole. Mm-hmm. And so something comes up like, oh gosh, yeah, I can't do it, so and it falls into the hole.
Yeah.
And the practice is so beautiful, because when you see, if I see my energy going that way, it's like,
yes.
you know.
Yes. Well, it sounds to me like, so in that act of goodness example, right, that you stopped to do something that was a genuine, authentic impulse. And what is, it's labeled first as good, but it's not just labeled as good, it's labeled as you're doing something in order to be good.
Yes.
And that insinuation
yeah.
makes it into something bad.
Yes, yeah,
right?
Exactly, and that's what it's
trying to
do. And
if we believe it, then we're toast.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I was doing all last night and this morning, you know, until I finally, once I caught on to, because I don't believe, like I said, but once I caught on to that it was just trying to get me annoyed, then so far it
yes.
seems to
quieten down.
Yeah.
Well, and then I'm sure it'll morph into something else, and you have
yeah.
to pay attention.
It to,
not, it's not annoyance, it's I don't know what else it's going
to
throw at you.
It started to this in this group, be this pit, you know.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, but it's wonderful to start watching how. Clues and fluctuations of energy.
It's that's it.
Is all that we have to pay attention to.
All the sensations and the energy. To me, that tells us the whole story.
Yeah.
And they're present because they're in the body that's present. So it's really, to me, the crux of the practice. And then of course, noticing, like we might not notice the stories. That's a whole other way it does it. But it's the drop in the energy that's the clue.
Yes, and we don't actually have to figure out the stories, because as soon as you know the drop in the energy, we have the tool sets to reclaim the energy.
That's right, yeah, there's no need for those, yeah. So that's a big practice.
It's a great practice.
So
thank you.
The koan that came up for me was Trust Life.
Trust Life.
Yeah, and how that's been for me is tuning into awareness more and more,
mm-hmm.
and when the information comes in from awareness, to trust.
Aha, uh-huh.
To
go with it.
To go with it.
Take that umbrella.
Yeah. And I found the word trust really, really useful, because sometimes conditioned mind will tell me you can't trust yourself. So by trusting life, I don't have to trust myself, I just trust life.
Oh, brilliant. You can't trust yourself, is what conditioning says. And of course, we never stop to examine the projection is, don't trust me. Right?
Yeah.
But it's a difficult one to get past, mm-hmm. because our sense of ourselves, given having listened to this for a real long time, is that we're not trustworthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to say trust life is just handing it over to something that is already established to be trustworthy and has no confusion about what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it helped me just to let go. I don't have to think about what, you know, I can just trust life.
Yes.
And
you don't have to think about
yeah,
it. That's such
exactly.
an important point.
Yeah, so that's really freeing. And I had a funny experience last night as well. I was in bed and I was feeling cold. And life dropped in, well, just get up and put on extra clothing.
Uh-huh.
Conditioned mind and say, oh no, then you'll be cold, so don't get up. And I was like, I am cold. So I was like, this is easy, just get up.
It's so the thing, isn't
yeah.
it? It is so the thing that to pay that level of attention to go, yeah, I'm cold, but I'm cold already. I'm going to get warm. Yeah.
So I got up, put on extra clothes, and I was warm. And I was really grateful.
It's insulation.
Rebecca was talking about insulation, and that was a really interesting conversation. Maybe I need to look at insulation in the Hermitage, but that was really funny. It made me laugh. And took that feeling of warm cold and just got, well, you can do something about it.
Yeah, of paralysis. Mm,
yeah,
and
yeah, that's
yeah.
what it felt like. I was in paralysis for about a second.
Yes. Well, and it stops life from, life's intelligence from moving through, right? That if we trust life, life's going to tell us how to take care of ourselves in some way. And then we feel taken care of. And there's such gratitude that we allow ourselves to trust the process that's going to take care of us. Because if you had listened to conditioned mind, I project you'd have been miserable and cold all the time and feeling separate and angry and frustrated and paralyzed and victimized and all of those places of intense suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a real tangible experience for me in the sense of coming here to the monastery for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Also have those voices saying, well, what, you've not... you shouldn't be here and you haven't got, you're not adequate to the, but I just, it's just trust life, even though the voices are there, just trust that I'm here, I've got myself here, and that I am trustworthy.
Yes.
And that I can do this.
Yes, because the ultimate, it seems that when we hand that over to life, to trust life, what we get to experience is that's what we are.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm trustworthy, it's life is
yeah.
trustworthy, and life is everything, including that which animates me. And I project that's the laughter, right?
Yeah.
The sense of well-being that comes from having followed an experience that shows us our trustworthiness in a very, very tangible way.
Yeah. And sometimes when life drops in something really outrageous, and you know, you trust that it's life, it can be a scary place because that really, that's what I'm supposed to do. And but what I've come to realize that it's okay, that it'll, the path will follow. It's, that's what the suggestion is, but maybe I don't know how I'm going to get there yet.
Yes.
And just trust that this is the beginning of the path.
Oh, it's such a beautiful process to watch the ego get afraid that you're going to follow through on an outrageous suggestion. It's its fear.
Yeah.
But that trusting life process is to know that, okay, that's what showed up. I don't really know, but I can trust that I'll be told what the next step is. Because from that moment it drops into the fear, it's, I have to be able to do it right now, and I need to know how to do it. But what you're pointing at is, if I accept and receive the message, the instruction, then I can accept, I can stay in acceptance to receive the next message.
Yes.
Rather than fear, which prevents us from knowing what that message is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, and when I've had that experience, and what I found really exciting and fun is the path unraveling, because
yes.
it's never what, there's no knowing, so you never know what's going to come next.
Exactly.
And that makes it exciting. And
yes.
So the trust becomes an interest, a curiosity, and a
yes,
a sense of unknowing, and it's okay, everything will
yes.
be okay.
It's the three practices, right? Mm-hmm. The practice of devotion, constant devotion, ever-expanding faith and inquiry.
Yeah.
They just build on themselves. Thank you. Jan, I believe we have a quick moment.
Well, I was just really appreciating all the conversation because it helped me see something that happened in meditation this morning.
Uh-huh.
As far as where to look, and that's what all the conversations have been showing me, and where do we look and where isn't it helpful? And as I was meditating, I started to have the sense of falling asleep. And I was, what? I'm not tired. There's no indications till just then.
Yeah.
What I was looking at is just the expanding the awareness. And it was amazing because I don't know how that happened exactly,
yes.
Except just to be looking bigger. I don't know how else to say it. And there was a surge of energy that just was amazing.
Uh-huh.
And it just went to what you mentioned earlier of just look to the energy.
Yeah.
Because I knew when there's that sense of what, sort of nodding off. It just doesn't happen to me normally in meditation.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, bing, and
to try
or to let life, because it really didn't feel like I was directing it so much as just what else, and it just went bigger.
Yes, so that's such an important point, that to watch, first of all, to have the paying attention ability, the expanded awareness to watch yourself falling asleep, to recognize, oh, well, what is that? I don't want to engage with that, but what I need to, it's the alternative, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as we engage with it, we're collapsing the energy hole. And so the disengagement is not a conscious thing, it's just a movement of attention. It feels like that. Mm-hmm. And then the expanded place takes us out of the collapsed place. It has to.
Yeah.
The energy becomes available, like you were talking with Penny.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.